You are listening to episode 18 of the Paper Player Podcast. I'm your host, Tony. I'm joined with my co-host, Jeff and Pi JB. And Josh isn't here because he's sorting, guess what, our bulk this week. How you guys doing?
Glad he's sorting our bulk because I really don't want to be sorting our bulk.
How much bulk do you have?
A little bit. Not much, but...
I'm actually finally down to one cardboard box full of bulk to go through. I've been going through all my bulk set slowly the last, 2 months, and it's, mind-numbing. I hate it.
I should really throw away my bulk. Or not throw away, donate it. I throw away my bulk. I have a 5K, you don't fit in the 5K, you get kicked out of my house.
It's kind of cool, though, because now I have, a 5,000 count box with all my, playables in there, or possible playables, and then I have another one with all my EDH cards or just bulk rares. There are times when bulk rares become playable.
Yeah, my 5K is literally just bulk rares, and then I guess I have a 1K that is, well, I should say now it's a 2K of just pure tournament staples.
And for me, I actually every month or two I do it just because I do enjoy sorting to a degree, but I have boxes I think they're 400 count boxes that are labeled with colors, and then I just put playables of four ofs or how many ever I have in these little boxes, so I have an easy reach. I need this blue card, gotta go search through my blue box.
Yeah, you're intense with it, though. I think you are, if I'm not mistaken, you put yours in sleeves, so you lose a lot of space.
What the hell?
I don't know, I just do it because that way I can easily grab it and stick it into the deck right away, because I use all the same sleeves. So unless I'm going to a big tournament where I think we talked about this a long time ago.
Resleeving
is important. If I don't need to do that, if I'm going to FNM, I just grab it out of the box, put it in the deck.
They always go loosely into the box, and then until I use it for a tournament is when I perfect fit it, and then it never leaves the perfect fit, but it will come in and out of the sleeve.
I definitely have it separated by color, but it's all in one box. It's not like I have a different box for each color.
JB's particular on it, and I agree with that sentiment of just being, it's soothing to sort. I just like touching my cards. It's a stupid thing, but I love doing it.
You got to remember, I really like trading. So when I go through my boxes, I can look at the stuff and go, am I ever going to realistically play this again?
Yeah.
And then I can choose to put it in the binder or not, and that's why my binder, every time you see it every couple of weeks, is just randomly changed completely. It's because suddenly I'm I don't value that card anymore, just stick it in there.
Yeah, most of the things I want from a trading standpoint, people just don't have what I want. They always have, honestly, a lot of binders you come across are just bulk things or things people are not willing to get rid of. So I just end up showing them my cool binder, and then they go, oh, I want everything in here, but I don't want to give you anything for it. And it's okay, well, goodbye.
I'm very much a value trader sometimes, and that's why I have, at one point I almost had double play sets of all the fetch lands, and I've slowly moved them out into other things lately, a lot of older cards that I want, duels, or I'm building, some old standard deck that has, a bunch of weird...
Reserveless cards.
No reprint, reserveless cards in it, memory jars, stuff like that. So it's an easy way to be you want some value for that card that you're never going to play? Here it is.
Oh, let me get those memory jars.
You always got to keep 5 fetches, man. 4 for constructed and 1 for EDH.
I thought that too for a while, and then I was what am I doing? Because I ended up, I think the last time I checked, I had 9 polluted deltas. And I was I thought I only had 5, but I kept misplacing them in other decks. And then I was well, I need another one, so let's just go buy one. And I just kept doing that, and then you end up with a surplus. And you're oh, whoops.
Yep. Or you're an idiot like me, and you decide that you need to get Japanese versions of the old style fetch of the enemy fez, and you buy 4 of them online, and now you have 4 regular versions.
Yeah. Have you guys tried any of the new limited or the new set?
Not at all.
Yeah, I really haven't had time to, but I know you said you played a bunch.
Yeah, I've been grinding it out on Arena quite a bit, and the conclusions I've come to are what the internet's come to as well, whereas black is just so strong in that set, and red is the weakest color by a lot, and that's what I thought right from the get-go. And also, the werewolf theme, even though it's the werewolf set, they got destroyed, which is complete garbage.
I mean, the transforms don't seem that great in most cases unless you're playing rare, at least from what we were looking at last week and talking about. Yeah. So it's very red and green seem very unimpressive from the set.
Right.
And so, those are the traditional werewolf color because beaters. So I'm not surprised that werewolves have not had a very good showing in a limited format.
Well, they would have been good, but they've printed too many cards that just hate them. They have a card called, like, Defense Trait, which is just black and two, destroy target creature without flying. Well, all the werewolves don't fly, so all your big, beefy werewolves die. -2/-2, and then that card that I said was the best, I think it's the best black common in the set. When werewolves are at their best, it's -13/-13. Well, there's another common that just hates them out. Also, they have an uncommon, or a artifact that it deals 3 damage, or if it's a werewolf, it just kills it, called Silverbolt. That anybody can play. They just got hosed this set. And there's also a common again, Eaten Alive. And there's a lot of themes in this set, like the blue cards that bounce them back to your hand. So all the work that you do, I mean, they do come back transformed, but it just feels terrible.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they did the day night cycle instead. One, mm-hmm. to give a new mechanic, and two, because bounce spells felt really bad way back when you were like, uh-huh. I'm going to play nothing this turn and then I'll get my good guy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's just gone.
The best two-color combo in this set is blue-black by a mile, and red is it's just too weak. The blue-black zombie deck is disgusting.
And that's what I was saying last week, was like looking at how many cards make zombies in the common and uncommon slot. I was just thinking you're going to make like a ridiculous, like, bounce all your guys, make a bunch of guys, swing in and beat you up.
Yeah, well, there's like this weird theme with the zombies where they have a bunch of cards that are like tap 3 of your creatures, do something. So, and because you have all these 2/2s that only are allowed to attack, you just end up using them as fodder. So they're like, it's like tap 3, drain for 1 life, or tap 3, tap your creature. And it seems like kind of like a bad card, but all of a sudden when you have like 8 zombies that are just extra, you like tap all your team, super like swing and one shot you, or something along those lines. And just black has, they have a Grave Titan at common. It's a 5/3/4 that comes into play and makes 2/2/2s. It's like, what? Look, the stats are insane. It's 5 mana to make 7 power worth of guys. It just comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it also exiles like the graveyard all over all the time. So it's kind of wild.
Damn, that seems real good.
It is really good. It's the best black common. It's that one and then Olivia's Midnight Hunt. I thought it was going to be Olivia's Midnight Hunt, but that card is just, it's Grave Titan at 5 mana. So the main topic I wanted to talk to about today, and it actually is a reflection of last week's episode. You guys popped off when we started talking about ban lists, and I think that's like one of the most passionate things that people in Magic get more involved with, just because when things get banned, we all hate that feeling. And I'm not sure how many times that's happened to you guys, but you guys construct a deck, it either gets banned out from under you or you have to completely go to a different strategy.
I remember being with you at a tournament. It was the Nerd Rage in that Great Wolf Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, they had announced a ban list for that Monday, the following Monday. And I was sitting there talking to you going, what are the odds that they ban Mox Opal? Mm-hmm. Should I sell them now at $60 a piece? And I was sitting there going, is it worth the chance that they don't? And it's still a powerful card and it, you know, breaks the format or continues to be very strong in the format.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the day later, it was like, oh, shoot, I should have sold because there it is on the ban list.
I had it happen to me once. Abzan, I had finally picked up all the pieces for Heliod combo when that deck first popped up. And mm-hmm. the day before the tournament, the team event, they banned Once Upon a Time.
that's a pretty good feeling. Card for that deck.
Yep, and it felt real bad because I had to play Aldrami's Call and it felt awful.
Oh, that card is so bad. The other thing I want to add to you talking about ban list discussion is that I think people have pet cards that are on the ban list that they want to see off the ban list, so they will gladly talk and fight for why they should come off the ban list. And yeah. I think there are people who look at the ban list and go, in my mind, this card is not a problem. Why is it here? So I think it's a bunch of combinations of things that get people all revved up about ban list talk. And so I think it's always like a fun conversation to find out where people value power in a constructed set.
Yeah. I mean, the ones that have been through standard have been completely obvious because they're just like, well, 70% of the metagame is this one card. So every top 8 has 32 copies of this. It's like, this isn't fun for anybody anymore. So mm-hmm. we run into that, and those are obvious bans. But when they do things like multiple bannings, four different decks. That's always surprising. They've done that in Modern multiple times. They've done that in Pioneer. Well, Pioneer, that was their intention. They're like, break the format so we can fix it. And then Legacy, we've seen things. Legacy is probably the one that gets the most leeway because things just last forever in that format. And it's one of those things. It's like, okay, we look at this, but until the Magic Online data tells us otherwise, we're just not going to care. Let it ride.
Legacy is like less supported than Modern and Pioneer, though, also. So I feel like that's a big part of it, too.
Yep, I think the focus is not so much on Legacy, which is why they're willing to let the community kind of come to a head on something where you look at, like, the Ren and Six was actually a pretty quick ban for them, mm-hmm. but the Deathrite Shaman menace of, you know, many years.
4 years,
or
yeah.
Or the
Underworld Breach got banned pretty quick, too.
Yes, I think they've been paying a little more attention because I think people are starting to move. I don't want to say it's a popular format, but you know, I think people are starting to move towards it a little more often. And Dreadhorde Arcanist took a little longer than I think people wanted.
Well, Mental Misstep, was that banned pretty quick or no? I can't remember how
that
long.
That took about a year.
Oh God.
It was a while. I don't quote me on that, but I'm going to assume it took a year just because like at that time there just wasn't that much Legacy being played and people were just okay with everybody being able to play it. It was weird.
It's like, all right, yeah, go ahead and take your two. Eat your lump.
Yeah.
It I remember killed so many decks, though.
It also created a bunch of decks that are just like, I'm playing 0/1 drops. Nice blank in your deck. And that's what like literally did happen as the format started to kind of evolve on itself. But the reality is like, that's a brainstorm format. People didn't like when their brainstorms were getting countered for free.
It makes me think of Josh playing Spell Stutter Sprite
yep.
as a perfect example of like where suddenly a card gets better because you're not conforming to the typical way that the meta is going.
Mm-hmm. That's when people don't see, that's the beauty of the Rogue deck, even though that's unfortunately in this day and age is dead. Like you can get away with a couple sneaky cards and that's usually a meta dependent thing. And you got to hope that it wasn't published on a, like an MTGO 5-0 list. Cause if it has been, most people at like a competitive level tournament may have seen it, but every now and then you can get away with one and you're like, whoa, like I remember going to FNM with just like spicy one ofs and just completely taking people out of left field. Like, what does this do? Like, yeah, well, this is the hoser for your deck. So good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could still do that at FNM level, too, because, yeah. You know, you kind of get used to your meta and, like, people stick to decks for a while, typically.
Yeah.
So you can get away with being like, oh, I play you, like, every time in the third round, so mm-hmm. I'm going to bring in this sweet card.
Yeah. I mean, when Burn was, like, dominating FNMs, everybody was packing, like, 4 timely reinforcements and all those style of cards in their sideboard just to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
That card should be banned.
I think the new set has a better one. It's a 2-mana one where it's you gain 4, you make 2/1/1s for the similar effect where it's like your opponent has more life, you gain life. Your opponent has more creatures, you get 2. And then it's like if your opponent has more cards than you, you draw 1 card. It's really, and it's instant speed. If Burn were to make like a serious comeback, you would see that card like littered everywhere because I think it's better than Timely Reinforcement just because it's easier to bring back and it doesn't require sorcery speed so you can get around those anti-life gain spells.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they do in like bans, the intention realistically from a wizard standpoint outside of the rules committee for EDH, and we're not going to go into that, the intentions of it are to make improve the overall health of a format. So when a format becomes completely warped around 1 to 2 decks, they need to do like a shakeup, which is kind of a great thing. And I think one of the things that we're going to benefit from going on with our Magic careers and going on in the future is we get these sets like Modern Horizons 2, which just injects so many cards in the format that it just forces deck creation. Whereas before, we would just have to wait till a ban happened, and then all the tier 2 decks would come either up to tier 1 out of like the woodworks, and we would see that happen. Now with things like that coming out on a every other year basis, we're gonna see the hopefully no mistakes come out of it, Raghavan, and get a better format from that.
I don't mm-hmm. think that card was a mistake.
Why?
I mean, it's good, but like it, I don't think it's as devastating as something like Hogak was. Like
Hogak
it's
was
easily,
different, yes.
Ragavan's easily dealt with. There's plenty of things you can run to kill it that don't like affect you changing your entire deck.
Yeah. The only problem I have with it is that if you don't take care of it immediately and you don't have an option to take care of it, it literally takes the game over immediately.
Yeah, it's got the Deathrite Shaman effect where it doesn't have a sudden impact like a Hogak, where it's like, okay, I'm ending the game on turn two here.
That's true. It's
slowly draining, but again, I guess we'll talk about Deathrite Shaman. So let's get into the ban list. Do you guys want to start with the modern ban list and what we don't agree with? I mean, the list is pretty extensive, and there's clear cards that are on there. JB, what are like some cards that you think should come off the ban list?
Okay, so the ones I think should come off, like 100%, is Jhin. Punishing Fire.
Okay.
Splinter Twin and Tybalt's Trick. Wait, before I say Tybalt's Trickery, my question is.
It's not on there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, they did ban it. What was it? Yes. What was the deck that was busted with that?
It was getting. Because you played what's his name out every Elmerical.
No, it wasn't just that. I thought it was also because people were just getting out. What's it called?
Tybalt.
Yeah, they were able to get Tybalt for two. I could have sworn that was the reason.
It's on there. I don't remember the reason. I honestly thought that was legal.
Because I feel like what's the name of that stupid card that you can sacrifice a creature, go get a creature of one cost more?
Earthing Pod?
No, it's the sorcery.
Neoform?
Yeah, so the Neoform decks are just as fast as the Tybalt Trickery decks.
Tybalt Trickery was more consistent.
How so? Because you got to choose.
It wasn't just Tybalt. It was also Emrakul. They'd run Emrakul and Tybalt. Those were their two hits. And both of those cards are very game. Like, Emrakul just ends the game. And
yeah.
Tybalt literally takes over the game, especially if you're doing it like turn two.
I'm trying to remember like the deck. Honestly, it was banned so quickly. I don't remember the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, originally they ran Cascade spells in there too, but then it changed when they changed Cascade. It was just Tybalt Trickery. Because you would what you do is you Cascade into Tybalt Trickery, use the Tybalt Cascade, Trickery yeah. to counter the Cascade, and that's when you would play Emrakul or Tybalt.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. I remember. Yep, that's what it was.
I guess that's pretty good.
They were even doing weird stuff with it in Standard, where I mean, you don't have Cascade, but you were hitting Tybalt and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess I'll leave that one on then.
But the best part about it was a six card deck with 54 lands, which was hilarious. Yep.
So you mulliganed, and with the mulligan rules change at the time, it made it so much easier to be able to do it.
Yep,
also, Gemstone Cavern, you can get a turn earlier.
So the ones I am like slightly on the fence about are Astrolabe. Unban for Modern.
You're crazy, dude.
And Dark Depths.
I agree with that.
Birthing Pod.
Agree with that.
And the Mox that I was talking about. Opal.
No.
Opal is questionable.
No, it's not. It's meant to be on there. The card needs to be banned, man.
Alright, let's start with Arkham's Astral. Why would you want that whole format to be just five color soup again? I'm just trying to figure that out.
Uro is gone.
Okay.
And that was the driving force.
Okay.
Of being five color soup.
Okay, do you like five color decks that... Okay, let's say this. If I'm an Arkham's Astrolabe deck, I get to play five color Blood Moon, and if you build your Jund deck, you get a three color Jund deck, you get hosed by me. Is that not a problem?
Yes, that's why it needs to be banned.
That's the problem. It's the combination of being able to play the hate cards like and Blood Moon and have no consequences.
I know, and I had that discussion a long time ago, but I feel slightly different about it because the decks that we're normally playing... Astrolabe, we're playing things like Uro to pile out lands, playing lands like Field of the Dead in order to win, and I feel like without those as their win conditions, it suddenly becomes a lot harder for them to do things. And I think it opens up artifact decks a little more.
Do you forget about like the Urza like era when like Astrolabe was in there, and you also said Mox Opal, like That's literally why that deck was a thing.
That era was broken because Oko existed. Mm-hmm. Oko was the driving force of that deck. I don't know how that deck would do without Oko.
Well,
I think it would be very good.
That black blue.
I think it would be very good, but I don't know if it'd be too good is the problem. And that's why I would like to see how it would do if we had like an Astrolabe Opal deck or just unban Opal or just Astrolabe and see if the deck continues to be a menace.
If I had to pick one of those two, it'd be Astrolabe. I do not want Mox Opal back.
I would take I'm with Jeff here. I would rather have Opal be unbanned, then the Astrolabe. Astrolabe comes with literally no restrictions other than having fetch lands in your deck and snow lands. And then
I think he said the reverse.
I said the other way, man. I'd rather deal with Astrolabe over
you are, Opal. Dude, what Astrolabe turns into is you just play you play 20 some lands, and then the 37 to 36 of the best cards in the format. Or
oh, 30, I understand. I want them both to stay banned, but I'm just saying if I had to pick, because I mean, either one can obviously be stopped by just playing Chalice on one or zero, but
not anymore. Still... I mean, the Astrolabe decks now, like that Prismatic, they would be open to playing like Prismatic Ending now. So you'd have Prismatic Ending.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Ragavan, Teferi. Yeah, I switched. All these in like the
I'd rather
same.
I'd have Opal back if
they're
I
all, deck. They're all in the same deck.
You're selling me.
Yeah.
Now you're selling me a little more because like, you're playing like
you get to do just the best stuff. It's not fun. It's so terrible for the format.
Both need to be banned. I agree Punishing Fire wouldn't be bad.
Punishing Fire is A-okay.
I also agree that Splinter Twin should come off. I think that
well, it's
is
just
slow
too
enough.
Slow. It doesn't matter. I think we all agree that. It's worthless.
I'm with it just because it's so game-ending and it's easy to throw that combo into any deck now. But, I mean, let's go. So you said Arkham's Astrolabe. We'll get to Splinter Twin. And then you want Birthing Pod unbanned?
Yeah.
Yeah, Birthing Pod ain't bad.
I thought that until they made Corridor Monitor, and now I don't want it.
Oh, because they have another option.
They have a 2-drop now. They used to have to play a 1-drop, and then you have to go from 1-drop to 2-drop to make like a take a turn off. Now you can go turn 1 Ragavan, attack, make a treasure, sack the Ragavan.
Turn 2 play the Birthing Pod for 3.
Well, yeah, it's pretty.
And then you have
now.
To combo instantly.
All it takes is a 1-drop now, or even a token. It's so easy because Corridor before you didn't have a way to untap it at 2. Now you do.
Okay, I understand
1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4.
I didn't think of Corridor Monitor.
It's the one from Throne of Eldraine. It's the 1/4 that when it comes into play, it's blue and
untap
1 for 1/4. Yeah, untap target artifact specifically.
Gross. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Okay, totally understand that.
Before that, yeah. So now it's just easy mode. You have to play 1-drop birth and a Birthing Pod in your opening hand, and you'll win the game.
No, we all agree on that. No more Birthing Pod.
No more
with that because I didn't think about Ragavan into Birthing Pod and then
nobody
instantly
does.
Starting.
Yeah, nobody does.
I agree.
People forget the Ragavan. I mean, maybe Ragavan needs to be banned. Well, we're not gonna get there yet, but like. It's also Birds of Paradise that steals your cards from your opponent. Nobody's taking that into consideration.
Sure.
Dark Depths.
So, Dark Depths.
Oh, you don't want Blazing Shoal? What about Bridge from Below? How about that one?
That card can stay banned.
Really?
I think that one can come unbanned. I kind of skipped over it, but like I don't think it's that powerful. I think the Hogak engine is what really did it, and I think they double banned just to be sure that they cleaned everything up.
Yep.
But
yep.
I don't know. The card like was banned, then unbanned, and then banned. Like, I don't think it was just Hogak. I feel like Dredge would still be a problem.
It would be good. It would be very good. Like it's okay. It's like tier 2 right now. It'd probably go to tier 1.
Yeah.
I almost think it would be the best.
It comes to the same issues with like the like Dredge is dead, right? Like Dredge hasn't been a thing in Modern for a hot minute. Like people might play it, but it's missing a key piece. And Bridge from Below wasn't that piece. It's Faithless Looting. So as long as Faithless Looting is out, you can allow some because it's hard to get your hand into your graveyard. It's not as
simple.
Let's
say suddenly you have to pay 2.
It's a lot of work.
Off colors in order to do it.
It's not free. In Faithless Looting, you can argue it wasn't free, but it kind of was. You have Insolent Neonate, and that's pretty much it. Like, as your 1-mana immediate draw and discard.
Yeah.
Or discard, then draw, actually, and then you get the 2-2 zombie from it, which was stupid.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think it would be
I
a
might
bit
just
test.
Discard is all, but...
Oh, dude, I had a lot of fun with this.
My other problem is, people are already playing mass amounts of...
Favorite hate.
EEs. They're playing EEs,
yep.
Which gets rid of the zombies, and they're also playing graveyard hate. Like, tons of Rest in Peace. I've seen Rest in Peace in the main... Because you have to deal with blue-red right now.
Yep.
And blue-red is such a powerhouse that requires its graveyard so much that you need to play it.
You remember what happened last time that was a thing? They banned Hogak.
Hogak was able to beat the graveyard hate and still beat your head in. That was the problem. It was so fast.
True. Yeah. And like, you put your graveyard hate down, but they still have an 8/8 that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's like, oh, okay. The other thing to think about is Chalice being a card that is seen in main board play can affect a little bit, because suddenly your one and maybe even two drops have difficulty doing anything, and those decks rely a lot on those kind of cards.
I played the version of that deck I played was a Vengevine version with Gravecrawlers, Bloodghast, and Insolent Neonates. And the reason that deck worked is because any hand that I had with my opening hand with land, Faithless Looting, I won. If I didn't have that, my deck was too slow and I lost.
As much as I want to see Faithless Looting unbanned so I can play some more Hollowed One, no, that stays on the ban.
I think they could print, like I was saying, like the one mana Careful Study and it'd be fine. I think the flashback effect of Faithless Looting is what really made that card busted.
Yep.
Because you could discard a Faithless Looting to a Faithless Looting and still cast it.
Oh, you could be Hellbent and then like just go off. I think that was more of the issue.
Yeah. So Faithless Looting, keeping it on.
Yeah.
Bridge from Below, take it off.
Yeah, bring it back to life, baby.
Dark Depths, I think, would be fine.
I think there's enough removal that you can get away with it, and the ability to do it as quickly as you can in Legacy and consistently in Legacy doesn't exist in Modern.
Well, Life of the Loam doesn't exist, right? Like
it does.
It's just bad.
Crop rotation doesn't exist.
Yep,
right?
That's true.
Not to mention there's no way to ending just kills Dark Depths for one.
Yeah,
so just path, yep. But yeah, they both do.
Yeah, but. Yep. You know, Prismatic Ending doesn't give them another land.
And
yeah,
Teferi exists, and Jace kind of sees play still.
I mean, beyond those cards. Like, those cards are kind of farts.
Teferi's good.
No,
three mana Teferi?
No, 4 mana Jace. Like, there were some cards you said that were correct, but not all.
Okay, I was like, you're telling me no one's playing 3 mana Teferi. You're lying.
No, that card's all over the place.
So you know, I think it's good enough. It's a good card, but I don't think the combo is good enough anymore that you can get away with just winning off the back of the 2020 flyer.
I think they're afraid that Primeval Titan decks might be too good, or even better yet, Golos decks. Golos would become like a mainstay.
Well, without Uro, you don't have a way to turbo Golos other than playing a bunch of trash cards.
Well, that's the thing, like where it could go, and mainly what that deck would probably look like, to be honest, would be black green, Vampire Hexmage, Thoughtseize to slow your opponent down.
Sure.
Play cards like Golos to go and specifically get an expedition map to go and get it, and then just try to win through that way. And you also have like Thespian Stage and Urza Saga too. So like that's all gonna be in one deck.
But
yeah, reoccurability
is too tough in Modern.
Yeah.
Whereas like in Legacy, I can literally do it every turn.
Yeah, I mean you also have Elvish Reclamation too. Like the deck is there. It's just probably not. It's probably not good enough. So I'm with you on Dark Depths. I just think people don't like the blowout of turn one Dark Depths, turn two
Urborg
Hexmage. Yeah, that's a real bad feeling because like answer this or else, and it would. I mean, Brazen Borrower, all those cards exist now. Maybe it's more or less like people don't like the feeling of Urborg, Thoughtseize, Dark. Does Dark Depths come into play tapped?
No.
Okay, so then you can go turn one Thoughtseize, turn two Vampire Hexmage, get you. Okay, that's maybe annoying, but it's such an all in play too that you might not even get there off that.
I don't know. People play Grief.
They do. That's fair. Maybe it would go in that deck too. Either way, it would be a black green variant, and I think if you wanted to slow down that variant, you'd play Golos. But Dark Depths is close, and I was an advocate for it before, and I think I still am. I think I wanted off.
I'm gonna make that deck. I mean, I literally have all the cards, so why wouldn't I just try it and see?
It's probably right there. You have like I said, Elvish Reclamation is a card that's like seriously a consider. It's just red. It's just black green. That's probably what the version is. I don't know. And then they're missing. What were the legacy staples? You're missing Mox Diamond, which is the big one.
Crop Rotation, which is insanely important.
Yeah.
And Exploration. I don't think to play a bajillion lands every turn.
I don't think the black green version did play Exploration. I don't think
it
they
didn't.
Did. Oh, it did.
Turbo Depths didn't. Okay. Oh, it didn't. Turbo Depths did not.
Yeah, so it's just look at the Turbo Depths list, and it probably is good enough when, you know, with Dark Confidants. It's, you know what, the deck, just build it, and we should jam some games with it, honestly.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'd love to see it. Yeah. It'd be interesting. So, Deathrite Shaman, I don't think anyone wants that shit on me.
Come on. Yeah, it's too good.
Same thing with Dig Through Time.
Yep, same thing with Dread Return.
If Bridge from Below comes off, Dread Return is not okay. If Dread Return comes off, Bridge from Below has to stay on.
One or the other, not both.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'd rather have Bridge from Below because I can deal.
It's fun.
Yeah, and I don't know, Dread Return would not be that great because you can't really create a ton of guys without Bridge from Below to use for Dread Return.
They work in combination. They don't. They work okay alone.
Yeah, I think Bridge from Below worked better alone.
Yes.
So I would rather see that come off because I think it could make the deck better, but not too broken.
Dread Return's probably just going to be the finisher, and it would probably bring Dredge back to life, to be honest, because you would be able to get Narcomoeba for free and then just, you know, whatever big bad dum-dum you want to play. That's probably where the problem there. Yeah.
Ion stays too much.
Yeah. Dude, Eldrazi Winter was atrocious. That was not fun.
Faith yep. Sitting, definitely we all not agree. Turn
that off. Yep. Field of the Dead sucks. I hate that card. I yeah, love I that card, but I hate that card.
Yeah. It's the same argument. Just these land decks that just have... Most decks need some way of, like, punishment. And Field of the Dead allowed them to do, like, this all-in combo. But when that didn't work, they could just beat you just by playing a land out of their hand or Primeval Titaning. And you just didn't, like... You were going to run out of Wraths at some point, and then they were still going to beat your head in.
Yep. Too much redundancy.
Daxter Probe, obviously. Come on. Yeah.
I almost want to say Glimpse of Nature could come off.
What are they missing? They just got the Quirion Druid. They don't have Wirewood Symbiote yet. But they basically, the Elves deck is all Elves except for Wirewood Symbiote and Gaia's Cradle. Those are the two cards you're missing.
Well, what would you be able to do to win on like turn two or three with this card?
Crater Hoof.
Yeah, the same
yes,
thing.
Yes, I understand. I understand Crater Hoof. But you could how even do you play get Emerald there without Bill? Being able to untap your guys consistently and have Gaia's Cradle?
What are you missing?
You have Netinal Sentinel. You can do it. The thing is, the reason why like it's okay, like it's fair in that format, I guess one mana removal is more played, but it's just like you go turn one, Heritage Druid, turn two, the 2/2, the Elite that makes, what's it called?
It makes a
1/1.
If you control an elf.
You play that, and then you could then tap for three green, cast Glimpse of Nature, Netinal Sentinel, and then just start going off from there. Like, that's a real possibility because you're just chaining draws. And then once you get two Netinal Sentinels, it becomes comical. It, pretty much what ends up happening, there's no Wrath that is at two mana that deal with the format. Like, you know? But
there is at three. I mean, you just play...
Anger of the Gods or something.
No. Well, I was going to say you can even play Plague Engineer. Like, that's...
It does get them. That's fair.
Like, I think that's the main reason I think Glimpse is, like, perfectly playable, because Glimpse just stays there, and they're always -1/-1, and that kills... Netinal Sentinel was a 2/2, wasn't it?
It's a 2/2. Well, it kills the team. It kills the token.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're also missing Priest of Titania, which is really big for that deck. Like,
it's a 2/2 nowadays. It's not. They don't even play it that really? Much anymore. It's like a 2/2. Nope. It's not a 4/4.
Yeah, there's just better options.
With Gaia's Cradle, the deck is comically easy. Like, you just go like, okay, crop rotation. I have 12 guys, Gaia's Cradle, Hardcast, Crater Hoof, or Greensun Zenith. But Greensun Zenith on there too? Yeah, it is. Yeah. So they Glimpse could probably come off, but it's easily someone would be able to break in. Obviously, I'm not smart enough to see what that deck is.
Mm-hmm.
I think Golgari Greatrail can come off.
No. Not at all. Too much dredge. Six is a ton.
I mean, they have access to five, though.
Five and four. But when you go for six, five, and four, it's like, oh my God.
I guess that's true. You have all of them, yeah.
You never miss.
Yep, you just keep going.
Yeah. I think the artifact lands need to stay.
Yep, no argument there.
Green Sun needs to stay.
Yeah, it's too much of a toolbox.
That's a close one.
Why would you want it off?
It only grabs green creatures.
Well, yeah, I know.
that's the thing. That's like I think Modern's not in a place where it's just like Value Town decks anymore. Like the Value Town is Ragavan, right? And Dragon Rage Channeler. So
I mean, doesn't turn one Green Sun grab Dryad Arbor just stop that anyways? I mean, yeah, Dragon Channeler can like obviously fly over, but like I mean that stops their Ragavan.
If you're gonna walk into it, you're a fool. You know,
Hogak definitely can stay.
Yeah,
not gonna ask you about that.
I think that can come off.
I think in this day and age, you can too.
I think Crane Clan can stay.
All those decks that are like, this is the main argument I have with those decks is it allows you the ability to spin your wheels and watch the clock, and your opponent has to concede. It's not like some people just have like a mentality they'll never concede and they'll never realize it, but you have the ability to do nothing while always having the win in your hand. And it looks like you're doing something. And that's like the trash part about that card is you go, well, I'm going to win game one. I'm going to wait till you decide to concede. But until then, I'm going to spin and spin and spin my wheels for the next 40 minutes. And then making sure that I'll lock you out of game two. And if you concede in game one, in game two, if I get ahead, I'm going to spin. I'm going to spin. I'm going to spin. Even if I don't have the win, I'm going to spin and grind that time. But that's the problem with those decks are.
You used to do that with lands.
Yep.
Old lands was bad.
Yeah.
I hated playing against you in Legacy when you played old lands. Oh, my God. I'm going to mind control you until I find a way to actually win.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I'll just Barbarian Ring you once.
Oh, my God.
Every turn. Yeah. And then I'll do things on your turn because I have time to do things on your turn.
Mental misstep can definitely stay.
We don't need 56 card decks plus four mental missteps. I'm good.
We basically already talked about Mox Opal.
Yeah, Mox Opal, I kind of still want. I want it to see how it goes, but you guys hate it.
So. We've already seen how it goes.
It's probably too good. Mycosynth Lattice, if it wasn't for Karn, I mean, that's the only reason, right? It
was either ban the Karn. I think that's bad.
Dude, it's not fun. It's so not fun.
I played the deck, though, so that's why. This is like JB was talking about. It's bias. I really liked that combo.
Yeah.
And I really liked playing Urza. Yeah. So I want Mox Opal on band.
Mystic Sanctuary.
Stay. I hate that card so much.
It's too consistent. It also like ruined Snapcaster. It ruined Snapcaster. Like Mage. It made Snapcaster Mage unplayable, which I think that's like a fan favorite of the format.
I also think the card wouldn't be as bad if it didn't say Island. Completely playable.
Yeah. If it can't be, if every fetch land didn't get you a Cryptic Commander or Prismatic Ending in this day and age, it's like, it's fine. But the fact that you can rebuy every answer and it was disgusting with Terminus, it's like, okay, this is stupid.
I got brain damage and I don't know how to play that card.
I saw you.
I don't want it because I know I'd have to play it and I don't know how to play it properly.
Yeah. People didn't realize that they were cryptic locked and it was hilarious because they were like, well, the cryptic's on top of their deck, so I'll cast a ability like cryptic, draw that cryptic, bounce the Mystic Sanctuary. They're like, like, then you can start seeing the cogs in their head starting to turn like, oh, I'm locked out. It was fun not to see. No discussion needed there. Come on, let's move on. That card is the worst thing that's probably happened in all of Planeswalkers.
Agreed.
When we get to Legacy, I'll yell about it a bunch too. So,
I think that can be unbanned.
Nope. Decks that are very creature combo and too consistent.
Yeah, it's if the free clause is just stupid. I've always hated free spells.
I was about to say if it didn't have the free spell, it would not be very good.
Yeah.
But going turn zero for best piece for my combo, put it in my hand, I don't like that at all.
Ponder Preordain, how do you guys feel about that?
Preordain, not too bad. Ponder, yes. Keep it off.
Really? They're so similar. Like, why one, not the other?
I don't know. Ponder does a lot more than Preordain.
They're the same card.
You get to dig two with Preordain.
Choosing to shuffle is very big.
Yes, and that's my problem.
Like, that is a big difference between Ponder and Preordain.
Well, Ponder also has, like, Ponder has also got, like, a skill test in it, right? One of the things that a lot of players do is they'll Ponder and want one of the cards and just suffer for the next two turns, and that's always a mistake.
Agreed.
Whereas Preordain, you don't really get that. I mean, you can get the best of both worlds, right? You're like, I don't want either of these, and that third card could be great. So they both have, like, their strengths of what they're different, but they essentially, if either of them were unbanned, you would see Opt and probably consider go out of the format. Because right now you're playing Serum Visions, and you would just auto and like replace Serum Visions with Preordain.
Yes.
Or Ponder. They would just
actually, in the decks that are playing Serum Visions, I may want Consider instead. Because I want cards in the graveyard, and Preordain doesn't get cards in the graveyard.
Oh. No, but Preordain sets up your next three draws, possibly.
Possibly.
I thought about that, and the reason why Serum Visions is so good with Dragon Ridge Channeler is because you get to go scry with Dragon Ridge, draw, and then see the next two. So that's four cards right there.
On top of it, it's also a sorcery.
Consider and Opt don't get to do that. That's a big thing. That's like one of the biggest. The scry, like you can get up to four cards with Serum Visions, and you can also get up to a theoretically four cards.
With Preordain.
Yeah, Ponder. Ponder is the same thing.
The only difference is you'll get to see the extra two before you choose.
Yeah.
Or before you draw. So you can get up there.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm fine with it.
Four deep is big.
Yeah.
It's like that you're forced to draw.
Visions is great, too.
Yeah. Punishing Fire, you were an advocate for that.
Yeah, I think it can come off.
Do you think creature decks are basically almost dead, right? How many of them still exist?
I mean,
like, Humans is gone.
Hammer deck is a combo creature deck.
Sure.
And I don't think Punishing Fire would mess that up at all because they already have a bunch of pro red stuff that deals with things.
And Punishing Fire just isn't as, it's not fast enough for the format anymore.
Yeah, it's super grindy.
I gotta think of that one. I don't know. I think it should be gone because I think at some point they're gonna want Tribal to come back. It's already dead. So let's just put it that way. And if they ever decide to be like, okay, we want like these creature decks to come back and exist, Punishing Fire says absolutely not. Humans would not be a deck with Punishing Fire existing. They just could never beat that card, especially because
don't they just Meddling Mage?
Sure. And then I'm also in a red deck, which I probably play multiple burn spells. Fair. Will get the meta
already strong exists. Enough. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't think.
But then you have to play. You have to play like red green.
Yeah, because you have to play Burn of the Curve or whatever.
So yeah, you can play Jund and then just be really easy to Jund could never lose to a creature deck.
Sure, that's fine. They already do that. They have a bunch of removal and big beefy guys.
Nothing but removal.
The downside of the removal is when it's bad, like in the sense of like Fatal Push, is when it's terrible, like against Murktide specifically. I know Punishing Fire doesn't kill that. Punishing Fire has the option to go and hit Planeswalkers too, so it kind of eliminates Planeswalkers, but those are already kind of dead because of Unholy Heat.
Yeah, and the only Planeswalkers that really want to get played anyways are like a one of Jace and a four of Teferi, so who cares?
Yeah, that's fair. Or any of the Karns, but I mean, you're not really ticking down a Karn with a Punishing Fire. Maybe Red Green Tron would come back. That's probably
worse. You don't like walk into the combo.
Yeah.
But I think it should be unbanned. I don't think it's that bad.
I think Rite of Flame can definitely stay banned.
Yeah, for sure. Second Sunrise, same argument where you're just spinning your wheels and it's just unfun. Eggs decks, nobody wants to play against. Seething Song, same reason. Top,
it's another Girdle card.
Same reason.
Yeah, well, another Girdle card.
I mean, if you're skilled like me, Top's the best card ever.
That's my problem is
trash.
I love Top. I want to play Top, but I understand why it's banned because I see people take forever on like one single card in their hand. And like, I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or not, but if you're not doing that on purpose and then you play Top on top of it, you will take all of the time. And I don't want to deal with that.
Yep.
I mean, Spirit Guide, I think, needs to be banned as much as I want to play it.
It allows turn one Cascade decks like Hypergenesis to exist. Like, if that's, I mean, it's one of those things, like, bring Hypergenesis back or bring Seeming Spirit Guide back. Both of them.
But I don't even want, because then Living End goes off turn one.
No, it doesn't. You have to spend mana to get those cards in the graveyard. They're not free.
Oh, I guess that's true. Rhino deck would be able to go off, I guess, turn one.
So you get 2/4/4s. I play an Engineer Explosive. I take 8. I blow them up. I'm okay with all that. It's specifically awesome with Hypergenesis. You're like, Emrakul on turn one. Good luck. That's where like the problem is.
I played that deck in Extended.
It was fantastic. It was a great deck.
Oh, I loved going turn one Progenitus and the clone where it keeps its name.
Yep. I think that's why that format, I remember that Extended, it was like, I mean, Stoneblade, it was like the first discovery of like Thopterblade, and they all played like three main deck spell pierce just to beat the Hypergenesis. Because if you're on the play, you could beat them.
Blue Moon was super popular too. So like that, they would like turn one or turn two Blood Moon, and like then you're really locked out of the game because you can't cast any of your Cascade spells.
Yeah, a little bit off topic. That Extended format was the most fun, and when Extended went away, it hurt.
I loved playing that.
Yeah. The only downside was that was in the old seasons of, like, Magic, where we had seasons, so Extended was played for 3 months, and then your cards would shoot up to, like, time goes to shoot up to $100, and as soon as it stopped being Extended, they would shoot down to 10. It was insanity.
Great. That's literally States was when we went and we played Extended, because I think, I want to say...
I love that.
JB played... I want to say you played...
I don't think JB...
He borrowed our Tarmogoyfs.
Oh, did you really? I don't remember him being there.
Yeah, I played too.
Yeah. Went to Misty Mountain.
Back on topic, Skull Clamp, probably not like that one. No. It's just one of those. It's too free to draw too many cards. And the fact that they equip cost, Skull Clamp's what? One mana. Oh, it's one mana for, it's one and one. It's like, okay, that's 2 mana to draw 2 cards and it's repeatable. Okay. Splinter Twin. Okay. This is a big one, but it's probably not good enough.
I think it's just too slow.
See, again,
too slow, too many options.
I get that you can slot it into any deck, but
with Roggevon, just think.
Yeah, I get that, but like,
so difficult.
There's so many removal spells.
I'll make the Turbo Depths. You make the Roggevon.
You guys should record this too.
Unbanned, and just.
We should do that. Trying out ban deck.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't unban too many cards at a time. You can't let, like I said, Hypergenesis or like for example, like
agreed.
Bridge, and it's got to be selective, and it's got to be like, okay, this is what we're trying. We're gonna pretend we live in a world.
In the meta.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think Depths versus Splinter Twin will be fine because neither deck would run the other one.
Yeah, they don't cross at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just play with turn one Roggevon. He'd go, oh no, I lost.
Nah.
Summer Bloom should probably stay banned.
It's too good for the Titan decks. They were able to go off turn two with Summer Bloom. Now it's difficult.
Yep.
Cobalt Trickery should stay banned. We already talked
about that.
Treasure Cruise.
Come on, yes. that killed every. That, the reason why Bob doesn't play it anymore is because everybody's still scarred from the Treasure Cruise.
Yep, Umezawa is shit. Here's one we disagreed about. I think this can be unbanned.
No.
Why?
So do I.
Same creature reason. This is my same issue.
But creature with decks are worthless now, so why does it matter?
Do you really want a Ragavan running around with that?
Yes.
To be able get rid of all of its blockers?
Because it costs four.
If they're not killing your Ragavan by turn four, that Ragavan's already done
with it. It's not coming
out. We'll call it turn three. It's going to be turn three.
Yeah.
Turn three equip. So if you can't kill him by turn three, you're probably losing already.
I mean, here's the thing. Do you like that main deck? Umezawa's Jit completely eliminates burn strategies, eliminates Heliod strategies, it eliminates all of them.
I hate Heliod, so yes.
I'm just saying, all those strategies, it just completely hoses.
Sure. I guess you're right, because if you play it as a one or two of in like
searchable with
red deck, you could like
those decks aren't even really tier one right now. And I mean, Heliod is up there, yes, I get it, but like burn really isn't like that popular anymore. Like it was in the
well, do you want it to exist ever? Like it's gone with
it. It feels like it doesn't.
Well, I'd say like it would be dug even deeper. You want to go have a tier two deck be something you have to put in your trash? Like you just go, okay, look, where's my waste basket? I gotta throw my burn deck away because Umezawa's just.
Now you're making me want this. You're making me want more because I can blue red a like one or two of in there. So that way, if I mill it, I can have it as an artifact trigger and stomp all over progress because they're really bad against it.
Yeah, I mean, you would just hose people. Like, it's not fun. And Murktide would have it on it. It would be so easy.
Oh,
that seems like overkill on Murktide.
I mean, it's one of those cards. People don't realize the effect that it has in the game. And yes, it's legendary, but like, I mean, Stoneforge decks still exist in Modern. They're there, and they would 100% just play this, Umezawa's Jit, Batterskull, and maybe Cauldron's Complete. That's probably the three they would play. All five swords are no longer an option.
Swords.
Is there nine total?
Well, no, sorry. Dungeons and Dragons doesn't count.
No, you can't play that one.
I wouldn't have any problem with the sword decks having Jit. It's more so the decks that are already aggressive that slotted in like blue red where it may be a problem.
It would just play. It'd be completely free. And you'd be able to, like, Jit has a fundamentally. Something that's fundamentally wrong with it is it doesn't need to be equipped to a creature to activate the counters part. That's like if you could errata a card, it should have to. If you could just like Swords of Plowshares the creature and you're like, well, I'm not going to be able to equip this to a creature anytime soon. I got to get my value out of it. Whereas like, oh, you have this Jit with four counters on it. I can't play any creatures because you can just kill them. Like it's not, it's so unreal. It's like not, it doesn't make sense to me. Nobody's wheeling the Jit. It's just
any combat damage. It's not damage to a player.
Yeah, and it's -1/-1. It's
like damage to player.
Like it's just not. It's not a well designed card. And like the Hammer Time decks would 100% play it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm fine with it. Yeah. And it would beat up other Hammer Time decks.
Sure. I mean, Mirror Matches were already 50%. I don't think they're gearing to beat other Hammer Time decks. I think they would be able to go against and beat up like Elementals. Your Risen Reef would never ever survive.
Perfect. I hate that card too.
I think Jit shouldn't be unbanned.
It's just one of those cards. The only creature that exists right now is the like Elementals deck, and it exists because of the absurdity of the Evoke creatures. And a lot of those Evoke creatures, how big are they? Like Endurance is the biggest one, but all the other ones are 3/2s or 3/3s. Your Jit has a couple counters on them. You'll never use Ephemerate. I'll lock you out of that for the rest of the game. You want to play any elemental? I'll kill it too.
Would love to. Again, this is one of those cards I'd love to see what happen.
Yeah, forget it.
Ban it. Let me see and ban it again if needed.
Yeah, and then probably the last one's Uro, which
think it needs to be banned.
Yeah, keep it there. I like playing Uro a lot, but keep that.
All right. I don't think we're gonna have time.
All right, go ahead.
I was gonna say we don't have time to go over Legacy. Maybe we'll do that for next or a future episode because this is extensive.
Here's the cards. Don't go one by one through it. I'm just gonna tell you exactly what I think should be unbanned.
Okay.
Mind Twist. Garbage card.
Done with you.
Doesn't matter.
Not talking to you.
It's garbage.
Whatever.
Why?
Okay. You know Dark Writ exists, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm not saying turn one it. But the fact that you can turn two or even go like land, Lotus Petal, Mind Twist you lose. Like that's a horrible feeling to the game. It's a bad design.
It all exists in Legacy.
I know it exists. I get it.
Veil of Summer exists.
But you have to, assuming that you're on the draw or on the play, then you can Veil of Summer. But if you're not, you have Force and Force only.
Sure. And that's already Path of Legacy anyways.
Yeah, I mean, sure. If that, if you're not playing against Force Will decks, you're going to smash them with Mind Twist. It completely eradicates all of those other decks.
Oh, you're literally dumping like most of your hand into it.
Three cards.
Right. Okay, so you dump three cards into it, you get three cards from them.
Mm-hmm. At random.
Yes, I understand the random part. Okay, so you're essentially at parry.
Okay, if you've ever mulliganed, I auto win anytime I play Mind Twist. Also, I can just like Him to Turok is one of those cards that's like.
I was about to say, so why do you hate? Do you think Him to Turok is fine?
Two is so much different than three. It just nobody's going turn one like Dark Writ into Him to Turok. That's not a thing. People do that with Mind Twist, and it's nasty. And especially with Him to Turok, you're like, oh, you have like five cards in hand. Okay, I randomly get two. You're like, not so bad. Oh, you have five cards in hand. I'll just spend six mana and I'll get you. And you're like, oh, this is such a bad feeling. The scaling part is probably the problem with it.
What about Soul Ring?
I don't know. Okay. Banned. No, yeah. Get out of here. Any of the tutors that put the card on the top, don't care. Go ahead.
Nope.
Why?
If they're instant speed, no. If they're sorcery speed, yeah, go ahead. Do what you want. The instant speed part is the problem.
Fast bond. Garbage.
What? Infinite Wasteland?
Yeah, no, you're not Infinite Wasteland. You're not thinking of it with Crucible. That's what you got to remember. Crucible Worlds is a thing.
I don't think.
I guess because it's not from your hand.
Literally, I mill myself 30 cards. I play Fastbound Crucible. You are so dead. I'll get infinite Field of Dead triggers. You're dead.
Perfect.
I know you love it, but specifically with Vamp Tutor or the blue one, the fact that you can put miracles on top is like. Pretty problematic.
I guess I can see that.
The time walks, like that's not fun. You're like, yeah, I'll just put temporal. I'll just time walk you and time walk you and time walk you, and then like, oh, this was a horrible game.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, what about Gush?
No. Are you serious?
Free draw.
Why, spell?
Dude? I'm not even getting that.
To play
Days is already like
every high tide. Every single combo deck that's ever existed in the history of combo. Have you ever played like, dude? You can.
I can hear the frustration.
You can gush with it on the stack, Lion's Eye Diamond, float mana, and just go off. It's like not fun. It's so horrible. There's a reason it's banned. Like it's restricted to one in Vintage. It's so good. It's zero mana draw two.
I don't know. I like it.
Float two mana, play LED, gush, trigger it on the stack, sack LED, I have five mana. I mean, usually they're graveyard decks. It's like, it gets so out of hand so fast. People don't realize. And Legacy is on the restricted format, so it's going to be a four of. It's just, it's too nasty.
I feel there's nothing actually on the Legacy list, now that I'm looking at, that I really think should come off.
Wait, isn't there like Earth something?
Earthcraft? Are you talking about Hermit Druid? Earthcraft too.
Earthcraft's not good. It's Hermitage good. Druid is not great.
They're both good. They're both just...
Earthcraft is gross with, like, Netnal, Sentinel, and stuff like that.
Earthcraft is, like, way too easy. It makes elves, like, comically easy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just... It's so stupid. And there's infinite combos with Earthcraft. I mean, it's allowed in EDH, and there's, like, 50 different variants of Earthcraft that are two... Like, it's you can have four Earthcrafts in your deck, plus, you know, whatever the four... Whereas in EDH, it's you have to have one and one, right? But it's just, it's too good. And there's too many of them. And people think of like the classic Squirrel's Nest, but that's a joke. That's not the good one anymore. Like you wouldn't even play that. You'd play, there's a million other versions of Earthcraft. That's just so nasty.
The only card I think I would question taking off would actually be Strip Mine.
Yeah, it'd be a four of.
Yes.
I get that.
It's restricted in Vintage. No.
I would not take that card off ever.
Otherwise, everything else on the list I think actually just needs to stay on.
Imperial Seal, I agree with taking off. It's garbage. Get that out of here.
About it. It's slow. But
my other question is, what would happen to the format if they unbanned Anti?
It would be horrible.
You would have to be 18 to play.
Yeah, that'd be horrible. It'd be so unfun. Nobody would want to play Anti cards.
Well, I'm just saying that because I'm just thinking of like, yeah, would you change your deck to make sure you don't lose thousands of dollars every game?
That's exactly why. I mean, you're right.
You ever play the card game in Final Fantasy VIII, man? Sometimes you got to risk those rares.
Dude, that's what I'm saying.
Honest to God, I didn't realize that Windfall was banned.
I didn't either.
Well, there's a good reason for that.
I was going to say unban it, but I was like, no, it's just Blue Wheel of Fortune.
I was about to say, the guy who is building those old standard decks and looking at how Windfall works with them,
oh, it's
do
so
not
gross.
Unban Windfall.
But you just go like... cast Windfall, sack Lion's Eye Diamond, add 3 mana, draw, like, you discard your hand, I draw 7. You just keep doing that.
Yeah, or, well, I mean, it was more Galarian Academy with the other thing, but you could still easily dump most of your hand with current Ant, you know, iterations or whatever, and Nauseam, and you could just fill your hand again for free, which is not good.
Yeah, that's one of those trash things. Yeah, I mean, the Legacy, honest to God, the Legacy ban list is more reasonable than the Modern ban list by a lot.
Agreed.
It's like, well,
but that's also because Legacy has a bigger card pool, so it's a lot easier to deal with things. So when things are actually banned, it's normally because they're a legitimate problem.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas Modern,
like, they literally win the game.
Yeah, where Modern, where you have less than half of the sets.
Yeah.
Well, this one's to balance. What happens to balance? How do you abuse balance?
How many times I gotta say Lion's Eye Diamond? Cast balance, Lion's Eye Diamond, your opponent goes to 0 cards.
Literally, even in Modern, like, the Cascade one was like
Are you not connecting balance? Like, it deals with people's hands. That's like, it's the most, it's the worst thing. You go like Lotus Petal. And it's not symmetrical. Planes. Well, it is. That's the point. Because it's symmetrical because you cast LED, you sack it, you go down to 0 cards, and then it resolves. And they go, I haven't played anything yet. I go to 0. Go. Draw, go. Hopefully it's something.
What are you doing with that? You do that? What are you doing?
It doesn't matter. I just made the game.
It's like playing Armageddon when no one has a board.
I'll have a flashback. I'll play
the game forever. No,
here's what I'll do. Here's my hand. Planes, Lotus Petal, Lion's Eye Diamond, Lingering Souls, 3 other cards. You can't beat me. Before you can concoct a hand, I'm gonna beat you.
He's right. Great.
I love this.
Jeff, JB, you're such a degenerate.
It's just the way
it sounds.
I fully understand why you play lands. You love making people miserable.
No one plays anything. I mean, yes, you have to sack your land. Does it include enchantments in it? I'm sure that's probably realistically the reason why you play like a random enchantment that, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, guys. Let's call that a cast. It's kind of fun. Yep. I like that JB likes to look.
It's actually only lands and creatures.
Oh, it's land. No, it's your hand. It's hand.
Lands, creatures, and cards.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the hand part, nobody would care. You'd be like, yeah, go ahead. I'll draw out of this. But instead, it's like, yeah, I found a way to discard my hand, and you're at 0. You didn't even get the play. You're dead.
I mean, I just like thinking of, I don't think hard enough about what would happen. So it's just fun to be like, well, tell me what would happen if we did.
Let me just pat myself on the back real quick. I've played a lot of degenerate like magic, like in the sense of like cube, and I've seen Mind Twist and I've seen balance with just the dumbest cards, and it's never fun. It never is.
Yeah, we talked about Mind Twist while you were gone.
He was okay with
it. I heard you. I think that card needs to be banned.
Yeah, I hate it. All right, dudes. Before we end the cast, I'm gonna ask you a question. I don't know if you guys have one, but do you guys have a favorite magic player?
The dude I see in the mirror every day I wake up.
That's a good one. It's me.
Honestly, like, my favorite Magic player is probably Caleb Dirt. I really like watching him.
He's awesome.
He's a fun Q player.
Yeah. I am a big fan of... I like Kenji, because I think he's really fun on his stream, and the way that he treats his stream chat is fun to watch, and then... I was a huge fan of Reed Duke, but I've really fallen off of him. I don't know why. Maybe it's because like when tournament players aren't putting up results, I'm not invested. And what I mean by that is like they're just not in my face. I remember like it was like every couple months Reed Duke would top 8 or win a GP, and you're like, that is incredible. How does he keep doing it?
The other player, real quick, I do like the MTG Goldfish cast, but like I really enjoy Richard. I like the way he thinks and the way he plays.
Mm-hmm. I think that whole class is great. I think Saffron Olive, he's one of those, like, I build decks for fun, and then
he's the best casual player ever.
Yeah, he's awesome. That's a cast. As always, you can find us on Facebook and come join us on our Discord channel, and I will have that in our show notes. And someone else has got to sign us out because Josh is gone.
It's Wednesday, my dudes.
Nice try, guy. That's Josh's. Try again.
JB, you suck at magic.
Nice. That's what I'm the better Jeff is what you should say.
Everyone go play Diablo.
Diablo. Oh, yep. Diablo 2 comes out tomorrow. Get your socks ready. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
That's you could talk a lot about it.
I could. I'm good.
Well, Tony already loves hearing his own voice. I don't want to like promote that more.
Why do you think I like editing the podcast? Because I just get to hear me.
He just mutes everyone else. Yeah, but
you don't want to listen to you recording?
I should do the Tony cut where it's just me.
Oh, God.
So you mean 90% of every episode?
Yeah. I don't know. Triple T. We got to come up with a name here. Tony's Terrible Time.
Tony's Terrible Talk.
Yeah, there you go.